Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, welcome, and greetings all. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is, as you just heard, the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We will get to our study in just a minute, but I have a couple of things to do first. Today is May 9, 2020. And tomorrow is Mother's Day, and so happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies out there who have had and reared children. Congratulations, and thank you very much for what you've done for our world. Tomorrow is also the 34th birthday of my son, Zach, so happy birthday, Zach. We'll be seeing Zach and my daughter and her husband, Emily and Aaron. After the show, we're going to go to the mountains and have a picnic and do a hike. So there's that. We also will post on our chat room the information you need to get a hold of us at spiritoftruthministry.net. That is our main website. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church and Writing by Rick Sterling. We also have our original website, which is still up and running, although we don't post anything on that anymore. It's just there as an archive. But you can find that at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. Let us get started. We have had a pretty nice time in the study before the study. Rick has got some fabulous things he wants to tell us. So let's get right to it after prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us your peace. Grant us your joy as we step aside and study to know the truth. I pray, Father, that we will choose truth over safety, that we will see to it that our minds are focused on you for just this brief period of time. And I thank you for doing this and helping us with this with your beautiful Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Rick. Hello, Don. And hello, Larry. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Good. There you go. Oh, Dr. Don, how are you?
Looking forward to a great study. This is an amazing time.
It is.
Then Larry wanted to say something.
It's probably better if I don't, but I was just going to say I've already been pre-warned about today's impact on my mind, so I'll take it laying down, I guess.
Yeah, your mind could explode. I mean, mine is, I'm trying to keep track of it. This is amazing and wonderful information. First of all, I want to, since I won't be talking to you tomorrow, I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Tomorrow is May the 10th, and it is Mother's Day. And my mother fell asleep back in 2014. April 1st, 2014, and my dad fell asleep on May 30th, 2017. But I want to wish Happy Mother's Day to my mother, the Holy Spirit. She is absolutely awesome. I want everyone to know that the Holy Spirit is amazing. it actually gives me chills when I think about this. I want to give you an update on the war that we are currently and deeply involved in, but it appears that we have, and when I say we, I'm not involved in it per se, but it's a battle for the character of the people of Earth. Are we going to go down a reality of peace and prosperity, or one of tyrannical socialist oppression? It appears that with what has been released today, it confirms what I said at least a year ago, if a little more, that on Inauguration Day, January 2017, when President Donald Trump was inaugurated and took his oath of office to be the President of the United States of America, he was not going to serve the corporation that runs this country and runs the world, and it is called the Deep State. There is lots of information out there, but you're not going to find it from mainstream. I want to say this. Typically, you will not find the truth in mainstream. I've been telling you, you're not going to find the truth in mainstream theology, and I plan to read a text from that just to confirm that. And mainstream information outlets call those that are actually telling the truth conspiracy theorists. And there are conspiracy theorists, and there are some really bad non-mainstream expositors of information that you should completely ignore. You need to do your vetting of everything, even the Bible, and you know that I have said that you need to do your vetting of the Bible. The law and the prophets are reliable. But when you get into the New Testament, that's where you really need to do sincere and good vetting of the information. Inauguration Day, the administration under the control of the deep state remained in power but operated as a shadow government, and the president of the shadow government was the president who had just finished his term, Barack Obama, although that's not his name. His name is Barry Satoru. The whole thing is a charade. He kept his group in place. John Kerry was his Secretary of State. And this is why all of you noticed that after the inauguration of President Trump, Barack Obama and John Kerry were still going to other countries. And they would typically go to other countries just before President Trump would go. They started the Russia hoax, and then the special counsel Mueller, then the impeachment, then the Ukraine. That this has all been purposefully orchestrated to make it appear that President Trump is an inept buffoon. He is not. the military intelligence, the good guys. So this is what the war is. The good guys in military intelligence and the deep state. And the good guys in the military intelligence actually asked Donald Trump to run for president. He really had no ambitions to be president. He was doing quite well with what he was doing. But they said, you know, the country needs you because we're going to go into the most oppressive situation where there's going to be a lot of death and destruction, and would you be willing to run? I'm not going to go into this because we've got a whole lot of other stuff going on, but I wanted you to know what the situation of the war is, and it looks like the good guys have turned the battle to bring it to a conclusion before the election coming up. And that's all I will say on that. I want to say hello to all of those around the world who are listening to this broadcast, and particularly in Africa. I want you to know I have a very a special place in my heart for my friends in Africa, particularly in Nigeria. And I believe that at some point in time, this ministry, Spirit of Truth Ministry, will go full time. And it will go full time when God wants it to go full time. But one of the first places that I want to visit is Nigeria. So those of you who are listening in Nigeria, stay tuned. I am going to start today with Ezekiel 33. And I'll be reading verses 30-33. Son of man, the members of your nation are talking about you on the ramparts and in the doorways. They keep saying, come and hear the word that has come from Yahweh. Throng toward you. My people sit down in front of you and listen to your words. But they do not act on them. They cannot tell the truth, and their hearts are set on dishonest gain. As far as they are concerned, you are like a love song, beautifully sung to music. They listen to your words, but no one puts them into practice. When the thing takes place, and it is beginning now, they will learn that there has been a prophet among them. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because I think it speaks for itself, but apply it to right now. I'm going to continue reading because I'm going to Chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, because it supports and goes along with what I have been talking about also. The word of Yahweh was addressed to me as follows. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And the shepherds of Israel, of course, are the priests and the scribes. The credentialed, diplomaed authorities on God's word. Prophesy and say to them, shepherds, the Lord Yahweh says this: trouble for the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. And he's not talking about spiritual food here. He's talking about the fatted calf and the fatted lamb and all the fine foods. Shepherds ought to feed their flock, yet you have fed on milk. You have dressed yourselves in wool. You have sacrificed the fattest sheep, but failed to feed the flock. You have failed to make weak sheep strong, or to care for the sick ones, or bandage the wounded ones. You have failed to bring back strays. Take note of that. What I just talked about in the last time. Or, and here it comes, look for the lost. On the contrary, you have ruled them cruelly and violently. For lack of a shepherd, they have scattered to become the prey of any wild animal. They have scattered far. My flock is straying this way and that on the mountains and on the high hills. My flock has been scattered all over the country. No one bothers about them. And no one looks for them. You see how history repeats itself. Dennis, have you posted the latest article I just finished?
No, I haven't yet. I will be doing that later this weekend.
So I just want to let you know that I finished an article. It's called Relying on the Experts. I think it's a good article. Dennis has agreed with me on that. He will be posting that on our WordPress site this next week sometime. And I encourage all of our listeners to read that article. It explains many things.
Yeah, and also, Rick, I did post the TED posting from YouTube. I put the link up on our Spirit of Truth Ministry group page, Why the Majority is Always Wrong, by Paul Rulkens from Maastricht University. Fabulous. It's fabulous.
Now, I want to let you know what I was thinking yesterday. And it came when I was thinking about Mother's Day and my mother, the Holy Spirit, and my mother who gave me birth into this world. And the Holy Spirit has given me birth in the heavens, from above. And I thought, okay, so if we go down the road of peace and prosperity and we're not facing the death and destruction that is described in Revelation, what about those who have fallen asleep in death? What about the resurrection? Because, you know, I was really really easy to tell when the resurrection was. You read a Revelation, all goes right on through, and then the Son of God appears in the clouds with the angels, and the righteous dead who are sleeping in the grave are raised back to life. But what about if we go on a road of life and peace and prosperity? Well, you know how my mind works. And I thought, and this text came to mind. I ask myself a question, a tough question. Like someone would ask me, okay, so the revelation that we read is not going to come about because the people of Earth have become objectively wicked. So when is the resurrection? That's a good question. And I think I have a good answer. Turn to Jeremiah 30. We're also going to go back to Ezekiel, but right now, turn to Jeremiah 30. I'm particularly going to read verse 9, but I'm going to start with verse 1. The word addressed to Jeremiah by Yahweh. Yahweh, the God of Israel, says this: write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For see, the days are coming. It is Yahweh who speaks. When I will restore, keep that word right there is really important, so keep that in mind. When I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah, Yahweh says, and bring them back to possess the land I have given their ancestors. These are the words Yahweh spoke about Israel and Judah. Dennis, Larry, and Don, is this a life road or a death road promise? Is there anybody there? Okay, well, they all seem to have fallen asleep. This is a life road promise because it's people of Israel and Judah. So it's Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. It's a promise of restoration. That's why I said to that word is key. These are the words. These are the words which Yahweh spoke about Israel and Judah. And Dennis just texted me and said he was away from the mic. Yahweh says this: I have heard a cry of panic. Check mark that, okay? Underline that if you haven't. I have heard a cry of panic, of terror, not of peace. Now ask, consider, can men bear children? Then why do I see man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? Why has every face changed, turned pale? This is indeed a great day, no other like it. Time of distress for Jacob, but he will be freed from it on that day. It is Yahweh's Sabaoth who speaks. I will break the yoke on their necks and snap their chains. They will no longer be servants of aliens, but will serve Yahweh their God. And now get this, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. That is talking about, God is talking about raising King David from the grave to be king over his restored kingdom.
That sounds like a life road prophecy to me.
And a resurrection, right?
Yes.
A resurrection.
Absolutely.
He's going to resurrect David the king. Now go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I've read it before. I want you, though, to at some time read it. This is also a resurrection. And it is a resurrection that happens on a life road. And it is a resurrection of the children of Israel that have fallen asleep in death. This is a prophecy of the dry bones. This resurrection would only occur if Israel went down the life road. If it was on the life road instead of the death and destruction road, there would be a resurrection of the people of Israel who had died. And they had died a long time ago. This is dry bones, no flesh. You read this chapter and it's the Lord is raising up a mighty army. Think about that. So my answer to the question, if we don't experience what is described in Revelation, then is there a resurrection, or what will be the resurrection? What I will say is that information is going to be in that little scroll that's in the mighty angel's hand. So I can only go by what promises have been made in the past. And this is what I always do, my friends. This is what I always do. And the same thing happened to me when I was questioning the validity of Paul. You have no idea how hard that was for me when I first entertained the thought that Paul was a fraud. And so I set about trying to prove that thought wrong. But as I kept going, things kept coming into my mind, and more and more and more, what I was finding was authoritative proof that Paul was a liar. Now, you can imagine.
And Rick, that was proof in his own words.
Yeah, exactly.
Proof in his own words, comparing those words to Jesus, what Jesus said, there was no doubt. And we, Larry and Dr. Don, me and Dr. Rich and many others went through this, and it really was, it made us all incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, Dr. Rich wasn't so uncomfortable. It did, but he always loved to look down a contrary path. I mean, he didn't immediately go down it. He was a good investigator. But he also, like all of us, and Dennis, you can definitely relate to this, what we've been brought up with as this is the word of God, it was convoluted, but we were trying to make sense of it because it must be the word of God. I mean, this is what, you know, what the church is teaching. And all we would do is experience frustration. Those who are free thinkers have a hard time following a path of lies. And the lies are meant to control your thinking and to control your beliefs and practices. Lies are only given for control. Control of shepherds over the flock, like I read earlier in Ezekiel. And I want to say a word about, about the end time prophet, faithful and wise servant. Study with that text in Ezekiel. There have been a lot of people interested in, well, just take me for instance, what I have to say. It all sounds good and wonderful. But I don't have any authority. I mean, in most people's mind, God hasn't called me to be anything. And isn't a prophet contacted by an angel, or does God speak to them from the heavens and say, you know, I want you to be a prophet. I want you to go and deliver this message and that. Well, God does that when the message is not there yet. In other words, first of all, the priests, the pastors, the ministers, the theologians, the religious teachers, all of them, they're too far gone. It's always been like that from when I read in Ezekiel, and you can go back farther than that. The reason that John the Baptist was doing what he was doing because there was no scribe or priest or Pharisee or Sadducee or anyone of that religious establishment who could do it, let alone would do it. And then you think about John the Baptist. Well, even he had a hard time. What was he supposed to be doing? What was he supposed to be saying? Well, he thought he knew what he was supposed to say. Hey, this was the end. He was saying, look, God is the Messiah when he gets here. All of the wicked, all of the foolish religious leaders who have maintained an environment of legalism and basically wickedness, if they don't confess their sins and be baptized, they're all going to be destroyed when the Messiah comes. And then what he should have known, he should have known, he was the Elijah who was prophesied to come by the prophet Micah. No, not Micah. In Malachi, and then of course in my Bible there's no chapter 4, but in your Bible there is, but it's the last. So in your Bible it would be chapter 4, verse 4, I think, maybe. Remember the law of my...
I'll go look that up here in just a second here. You remember said Malachi?
Malachi, yours will have chapter 4.
Okay.
Mine just has chapter 3, but I think it's verse 4. Starts with verse 4 in yours.
Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse.
Did you see that key word in there? Restore. Key word is restore. Now, in Matthew, the one I read yesterday, and read it again today, Matthew chapter 17, and I'll read verse 11. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I read it yesterday, and I've read it many times, so you know that. When asked, why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Prophet Malachi said, and he used the word restore. Restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. The Son of God uses the word restore. In your translations, the Jerusalem Bible doesn't say restore, but the statement is a restoration statement. So here it is. True, says the Son of God. Elijah is to come. This he puts in the future. He puts this in the future. The question was not concerning a future Elijah. The question was, how come Elijah hasn't already come? Because you are the Messiah, and the scribes say that Elijah has to come first. So he gives his answer with, Elijah is coming. He is coming to see that everything is once more as it should be. And Dennis, do you want to read what it says in your translation?
Sure. Let's see. Elijah. Oh, here it is. Matthew 17:11, and he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things, but I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands.
So the word restore is key. God's plan from the very beginning that was put into action when the insurrectionist watchers, the angels, who decided to do their own thing, and Lucifer was going to make himself equal to God. The plan was to restore God's authority on this earth. That was what was to come about. That's why the test in the garden was, whose authority are you going to submit to? the authority of the true God who created you? Or are you going to submit to the authority of the one who's trying to make himself God? And we know what happened. What God has been trying to show mankind for eons is that in order for this world to survive and continue on, it has to resubmit, if you will. It has to resubmit to the authority of God who created this world and everything in it and everything on it. You go, well, I don't submit to anybody. I'm my own person. Let me tell you. If you decide you're not going to submit to God, then you've already submitted to the devil. You cannot say, I'm not submitting to anybody. That's impossible. It's impossible. Because to submit is just to say, I choose to do what is right. That is how you submit. When the man and the woman in the garden were there, if they said, I choose to do what is right, that's how they submit to God. But if they say, I choose to do what is wrong, what I've been instructed not to do, then you have submitted to the devil. Now, would the man and the woman in the garden have come under tyrannical rule if they had obeyed God? Because they submitted to God, they said, well, obey you, and then he becomes a tyrant? No. In fact, they would actually, I believe, have had a greater opening in their purpose for which they were created. But tell me, how well did it work out for them by submitting to the serpent? How did that work out for them? Well, they lost access to eternal life. They were thrown out of the garden, and the man then now had to till the ground and plant his crops and tend his crops and harvest his crops. And yeah, things didn't work out so well. And let me tell you that if that's what you choose, that's what you get. If you want peace and prosperity, you choose to submit to God. If you want death and destruction, you choose to submit to the devil. But right now, the whole world is under the authority of the devil, but they haven't submitted to him yet. And they've made a statement of purpose for God by acknowledging God and by worshiping God, but they don't know God. And that's what everyone needs, is they need to know God at least as well as you know yourself. And I can tell you from personal experience right now, don't think that this is very hard to understand. It is not. If you will ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth, she will do it. She will do it. I've told you that I've only had one time that I know it was God doing this. And that's when I had closed my eyes, walked into a room, I saw a group of three beings in a huddle, dressed in white robes. I was not asleep. I was not dreaming. I was wide awake. I had just closed my eyes, and this is what was happening. One of them saw me walk into the room, looked at me, and in the next instant was embracing me with their face and my shoulder, saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And I immediately opened my eyes. I was shocked. I was mortified. It was like, you know, because I knew what had just happened. One of those beings, and I at the time I believed that it was the Son of God. It could have been the Holy Spirit. I don't know. There were three of them, and I couldn't see any real facial features. And to me, that was, you know, God doesn't come over to you and embrace you and say thank you three times. And thank you. Thank you for what? You know, I had just started studying. It wasn't more than a year or so that I had made the determination that I was going to learn the truth. I was going to follow whatever I could to learn the truth. I was going to rely on the Holy Spirit. And what I share with you, the Holy Spirit has given. And as far as I know, she's only spoken to me once in a long, long, long time ago, and it was two words. Here is the point. The Son of God said the Elijah who is to come will see that everything is, that will see that everything is once more as it should be. In his mind, I see that he's thinking back to the garden. As he's watching the interaction of the man and the woman and the serpent. And he saw what happened. What he's saying here is that the Elijah who is to come, and I can tell you it is one person, just like John the Baptist is one person. And just like John the Baptist wasn't given the message that he was supposed to deliver, because if he was, then they really messed up. And what I say they, I mean the God. John the Baptist was clear that the only thing that the person who sent him had said was how to recognize the Messiah when he saw him. That was it. What John the Baptist was preaching was what he understood was going to happen at that time. And he did not realize, nor did he know who he was, except that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He didn't know that he was the Elijah. Here we see that the Son of God says, but Elijah has already come. And then it says the disciples understood then that he had been speaking of John the Baptist. So the Messiah knew that John the Baptist was the promised Elijah from Malachi. But John the Baptist didn't know that. And when John the Baptist was in prison, he says, the Messiah is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. So he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah?" And then when John the Baptist's disciples were going away, he said, Of those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of the heavens will be greater than he. And he said to his disciples then, at that time, and we see this in verse, well, let's start with, so Matthew 11, starting with verse 13. Because it was toward John that all the prophecies of the prophets and of the law were leading. And if you will believe me, is the Elijah who was to come. I think what he's telling his disciples there is that all the information previously given in the law and the prophets dealt with the time period going up to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had an understanding of the law to a certain extent, and that's what he was preaching about, confessing your sins and keeping your actions in harmony with obedience. But I don't know that he understood thoroughly about the prophets, particularly Malachi. He didn't see himself as the restoration prophet. And I'm not trying to take anything away from John the Baptist at all. What I'm saying is I'm taking that and I'm applying it to the end of time. There is one person who comes, and he is like John the Baptist was, an Elijah-type prophet, a judgment prophet. But judgment can have one of two outcomes. Judgment can be death, or judgment can be life. We are there, and the restoration, the putting everything back the way it was to be, restoration. It appears that is what the Son of God told those three disciples on the way down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. However, Elijah has already come. It sounds to me, when we take that and we put it into the context of Daniel chapter 2, the stone that cuts itself out of the quarry, the slab of granite or marble, whatever you want to say, it doesn't matter. The stone that cuts itself out represents the Elijah for the end time, who learns the law and the prophets and the testimony of Jesus, who learns all that information and is able to put it all together and recognize at the end of time that just as God purposed for Israel from the time he took them out of Egypt, that they would have the opportunity to learn about him, not just learn of him, but learn about him, and they would know him. And as the Son of God said that in his prayer, that he wanted them, the righteous at the end of time, to be in him as he was in the Father, and the Father in them. Being in means your minds are connected, and your minds cannot be perfectly connected if there's any lies in there. Please remember that. It is important to learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is restoration. And it looks to me like right now the devil is in a desperate situation with his human army that he is directing, and it is in high gear, so to speak, to try to overwhelm the populace of the United States, the people of the United States. This is an information war. Just as the man and the woman in the garden had an information war. The devil, the serpent said, God is trying to keep something from you. That is information. I have information that you don't know about. If you just eat from this tree, you will your whole intellect will be into a much more mature, higher level, a state of being that is like the gods. Yet it wasn't. He lied. Same thing is happening today. We are being lied to by the dark side. The light side is telling the truth. But the dark side has all of the popular support. Almost every mainstream media, save for one, is under the control of the dark side. All of the movie media industry. So the news media, the entertainment media, vast majority, not all of the people, but the vast majority are fighting on the side of the devil. Most of them have already sold their souls to the devil to be popular and wealthy. But ultimately, we decide, we the people, we decide whether we want life and prosperity and peace, or death and war and destruction. And we are the ones to choose. Please make the informed choice. Be informed by the truth. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our two websites, spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. There you will find lots of good information. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling at 10 a.m. and next Friday at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Bible on Trial. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. Have a happy day, a beautiful Sabbath, a wonderful Mother's Day, and we'll see you all next week.